Welcome to Sabbath Services, brethren. I don't know how many of you were able to watch the news and see the conversation between Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, and the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. And it was reported that that conversation was after an hour and a half of closed door, which probably was pretty much a knockdown dragout. And I think that Netanyahu did a masterful job in correcting the president publicly. And one of the reasons he did is because the statement returned to the borders, 1967 borders. He asked Hillary Clinton to have that removed from the speech because he had the speech ahead of time. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And look at Israel today. I was thinking as I was watching all of the chaos stand citizens rioting against it. Let's come to Luke, the 21st chapter, Luke 21. I was thinking, this is really getting out of hand. Jerusalem is the hot point for everything. And one little clue, as I covered in terrorism. If people would obey God, keep his word, we wouldn't be in predicaments like this. Okay? But people don't want to, and then we have, like I covered this morning up north, with Harold Camping, the false prophet. What does he do? He causes more people to hate Christianity, think it's a joke, and actually, when it's all over, he has strengthened the hand of the atheist because they say that this is just myth and fairy tale. So that's why when people use part of the Bible and not all of it, they can present things which are true, but it's like having half the book. You don't know the rest of the story. You don't know what was really going on. So here in Luke 21, and of course the disciples have always wanted to know when he's going to return. And we've had nothing but false alarms ever since then. I mean, look at what happened in the church in the days of the apostle. Now remember, one of the last things that Jesus told Peter was, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, shepherd my sheep. And Peter, being the politician he was, he looked over and he saw the apostle John, and he said, Lord, what's going to happen to this one? Because Jesus just told him how he was going to die. You're going to get old and someone's going to lead you around where you don't want to go. He said, what's going to happen to him? He said, what is it to you if I desire that he remain alive until I come? You follow me. And then the word went out, Jesus is going to return before John dies. See? But he didn't say he would remain alive until he came. He said, what if? However, it didn't happen literally, but it did happen with the book of Revelation when he gave him the vision. See? So they wanted to know, can you imagine the two critical periods in the apostolic church? Number one was the war with Rome from 66 to 70 A.D. And in, what was it? In 70 A.D., the Roman troops pulled back. And Josephus records that the word went out, as many Jews as possible, come to Jerusalem and God will save it. If we're all here keeping the Passover, God will save it. So they had over 2 million Jews in Jerusalem. And then the Romans closed it in again. you can imagine the carnage and suffering that took place because of that. Well, God is not going to be forced to do something because people decide to do something. No one's going to say, God, I'll obey you if you bless me. God says, obey me, and I will bless you. It's the other way around, because no man tells God what to do. Then think about the critical time and what happened to the Apostle John. Remember, he was arrested, put on the Isle of Patmos. It was said that they threw him into boiling oil and nothing happened to him. So that's why they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And then after the Roman emperor died, he was released and went back to Ephesus and brought with him the book of Revelation. And then that was added to the other writings of the apostles. But can you imagine all of the disciples keeping track? Now, they didn't need phones to get communication, because they got it pretty quickly, word of mouth. I don't know how many carrier pigeons they had, but anyway, they were watching. They were waiting. How's John doing? Is he still alive? Imagine what happened when the word went out, John is dead. Well, we have some clues right here. How it's going to happen? Let's pick it up, Luke 21, and verse 5. While some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and consecrated gifts, he said, as for these things you now see, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign that these things are about to take place? First thing, and it's still happening today, beware that you're not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. The time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. Okay? Don't go after them. And when you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be terrified. And of course, they've heard of that all the way down through time, right? Yes. Now, let me ask you a question. I preached on this several times here recently. Okay. What is the one key thing to happen in Jerusalem at the temple, which needs to be built, that signals the beginning of the tribulation? There's one key thing going to take place: the abomination of desolation. When that happens, there's no time for any more speculation. If you're in Judea, Jesus said, run to the mountains. Okay? He said, it's necessary that these things take place first, but the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We have that going on today, don't we? There shall be great earthquakes in different places, and famines and pestilence, and there shall be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before these things, they shall lay their hands on you and shall persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. Now that has happened in the past, it'll happen again. But it shall turn to you for a testimony. This is why we are to know the word of God. Understand what God is telling us, you see. Settle therefore in your hearts not to premeditate what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth in wisdom, that all those who are opposing you shall not be able to reply nor resist. Now this is verse 16 has happened in the past. It's going to happen again. And you can see how the society is being prepared for it. But you shall be delivered up even by parents, and brothers, and relatives, and friends, and they shall put some of you to death. And you shall be hated of all because of my name. Now, when that happens, don't worry. See? We're not to be politically correct. We're to be spiritually correct, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, but speaking the truth. He says, but not a hair of your head shall by any means perish. By your patient endurance, you shall gain your lives. Now, here's the key, another one to add to the desolation. This comes before the abomination of desolation. And I was thinking about this when I was watching the report on Jerusalem, especially after hearing Netanyahu say that the 1967 borders, Israel was only 9 miles wide. Well, the difference between here and Gilroy is 12. And watching the riots in Egypt, the riots in Syria, the knowing what the Palestinians are like, the riots in Jordan, the only place they have left to go is down in the Negev. You ever seen the Negev? You don't want to go there. Dolores and I were watching the special on Israel sometime last week. And it showed Tel Aviv, beautiful modern city, tall buildings. Everything just was beautiful. Showed Jerusalem, old Jerusalem, new Jerusalem. Then it showed going down into the Negev. And that desert is not very much sand. It's mostly rock and very hot. Then it showed the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea between, it's 1,300 and some feet below sea level to the Dead Sea. And then Jerusalem is some 2,100 feet above sea level. So look at how steeply that falls off. So if you go down into the Negev, it's rocks, it's barren, it's hot, there are canyons, it's an inhospitable place. And then you get down to the Gulf of Aqaba, and here you've got, like, you know, the Mediterranean Riviera. You've got all the hotels and everything, and that's where the Jews keep their Feast of Unleavened Bread and Feast of Tabernacles. They all go on vacation down there. Okay? But I was thinking, after having saw that, watching all of these wild people from Chaosstan rioting, I thought, how are they going to keep these people separated? And then listening to the demand of Obama with the speech, here's going to be the ultimate solution right here. But when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, now is this to attack Jerusalem or is this to protect Jerusalem? Will there be an agreement to protect Jerusalem? I mean, you've got the Palestinians, you have the Catholics, you have some Protestants in there, you have the Orthodox, and you have the Judaism, all brands of Judaism there too. Okay, so how are you going to hold that thing together? All right. Know then that her desolation has drawn near. So this is another signal to what? Then it says, let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains, let those within her go out, and let not those in the countries come into her, for these are the days of vengeance, so that all things that have been written may be accomplished. Now let's come back to the book of Zechariah, please. Zechariah 12, because it tells us something very interesting. We'll come here several times. It tells us something very interesting concerning Jerusalem. Now, the book of Prophets, next to the last book, Malachi is the last book, okay, that just before Psalms in the original order Bible, okay, Zechariah 12. Let's begin right here in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? I won't give a sermon on it, but it has to do with conversion and changing the mind. Now notice verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all people, all the people, all around. And when they shall be in siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. That's a very inclusive statement, isn't it? Is it a burden? It has been a terrible burden. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. No one has been successful yet, right? Okay. Though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Now there's going to be one last agreement that is going to come, which it will look like that they can solve it. And that will be when the Antichrist comes on the scene and he makes an agreement. There will be a worldwide agreement over Jerusalem. Now at that time, now, okay, now the comment was made, what about Glenn Beck going to Jerusalem? Stand with the Jews. That's fine. They can use all the friends they can get. But until there's repentance, nothing is going to work. Okay? So that's quite a statement here. All right? Now, let's come to Daniel, and you go forward in the Bible, because Daniel is not in the prophets. It is right after the book of Esther, and we'll get to the book of Esther here in just a minute. Let's come to Daniel 9. Now, in doing other things, we've been delayed in working on the book, The Appointed Times of the Messiah. Daniel 9. All right? Now, there are three segments to this prophecy. And the first two have been fulfilled to the very day. Okay? Now, when you read through the first part of it here, Daniel was praying and repenting because he began to understand the 70 years that Jeremiah had prophesied concerning Jerusalem. Okay? So let's pick it up here in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, it came to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. See, now that Jerusalem was destroyed twice. And if you have Josephus read both accounts, they're pretty difficult to read too. Now notice that with Daniel's repentance, God acted immediately. Now I don't know what would happen in Israel if something like this were to occur today, but I'm sure God would honor it. So he said, verse 3, I set my face toward the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, made my confessions, and said. Now, this is quite a moving prayer. Now, this is what has to happen in the United States as well, if there is going to be any holding back of the things that are going on. I mean, God is dealing us with a pretty heavy hand here lately. And said, O Lord, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those who love him, and to those who keep his commandments. Notice his confession. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled and have turned aside from your commandments and from your ordinances. Neither have we listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our rulers, and our fathers, and to all the people of Israel. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face as it is this day. Now apply that to modern Jerusalem today. Aren't they terribly confused with what's going on? Who are they going to trust? You know, you have 100 million people against, what, 3 to 6 million Jews over there? Okay. As it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the people of Jerusalem, and to all Israel who are near and are far off, through all the countries where you have driven them because they have dealt treacherously with you. O Lord, confusion of face belongs to us, to our kings, to our rulers, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. See, when people come to God, if they would take this approach, if they would yield to God and see, yes, God is right, God is good, God is love, but God also has to judge because of sin. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He wants the wicked to turn. It's like it's happening in this prayer. Verse 9 now. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgivenesses, even though we have rebelled against you. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. And that's another thing. The key thing that God wants is obey my voice. What did Jesus say concerning his words? The one who hears my words and practices them is a wise man. Okay? Now, that doesn't limit any of the words of Jesus. That's all inclusive, see? So we have the same thing going on here. Obey the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel has transgressed your law. 10 tribes of Israel were gone. Judah and Benjamin were gone. Jerusalem was destroyed in a heap. The temple laid in ruin. Didn't tear it down quite as much as they did during the Roman invasion. Okay? And have turned aside so that they might not obey your voice. Therefore, the curse is poured out upon us. He understood that, so he had the book of Moses too. He realized that. And the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven, it has not been done as it has been done unto Jerusalem. And you know, every time I see the Jews at the Wailing Wall, that's a pitiful sight. Pitiful sight. Now, the key is this. That's not part of the temple because Jesus said all the stones would be taken down. That's part of Fort Antonio. So they come to the wall and they put their little prayers in there. Matter of fact, you can send some money and a little written prayer, and they'll have someone go down and put it in between the rocks down there for you. But it's pathetic. What are they doing when they're praying? Where are they facing? The Mosque of Omar. See, the temple was down to the south of that. See? And every stone was removed. That's why. See? And the hill that was the hill of where the city of David was, where David had his house and mansion and everything there, that has all been taken down. So instead of two hills on the ridge coming up, there's only one. See? So they think that this one is the city of David. And then you go up from there to the Mosque of Omar area. And so they think that's the temple area. Okay. Think that everything that's been done, you know, and think the place where God placed his name, Jerusalem, and it means a city of peace, okay, the city of God. More human blood has been shed there than any place else. And think what's going to happen when Christ returns. And all the armies come and fight against the return of Christ, and it said the blood is going to come up to the horse's bridle. By 180 furlongs. Now, that's a lot of blood. Boy. Okay. You see, one of the keys in approaching God and understanding our relationship with Him is this. He is loving, He is kind, He is ready to forgive. But we have to confess our sins and understand them. And another thing happens too. The more that you learn about God and the more you learn about His Word, the more you understand about human nature, the more you realize how utterly destructive that human nature really is. Okay? So I can feel all these things in this prayer with Daniel. Here he is alone. Okay? I don't know how old he was here, but it was toward the end of the 70 years. I think just right at the 70th year. Okay, that made him 70 years old, plus however old he was when he was carried off to Babylon. So say he was what, 16 at that time? This made him 86. Being exiled 86 years. All right? Okay. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet, in spite of all the evil that came, we did not make our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Now, there's another principle right here, right? You want to understand the truth of God, you got to turn from your iniquities. See? Because what happens if we don't turn from our sins? Our mind tricks us because we are deceitful and we don't think of it in the terms that God views it, see? Therefore, people can't understand the truth. Now you see another good example, Harold Camping. He's so set on May 21st that no one can tell him anything. And in listening to the news driving up north this morning, one of the reporters asked him, he said, "Well, is this going to happen?" He said, "Yes, absolutely this will happen." Idolatry, vanity, self-exaltation, speaking for God when God never sent him. Wouldn't want to be in his shoes when he's resurrected and God says, "Harold, come here." Okay. "Therefore, the Lord did not hesitate concerning the evil that he brought upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he does, but we did not obey his voice." He said it twice. "And now, Lord our God, who has brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly." Now, the reason I'm going through this is to show you how quickly then God answered the prayer and answered it with what? The prophecy of the Messiah who will take away all sin, right? Yes. Okay. "O Lord, I pray you according to all your righteousness, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because of our sins and for the sins of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all of those who are around us." And the world hates the Jews today. The only friend they have is the United States of America because we're of the 10 tribes of Israel, and that's why there's the close affinity, you see. But he doesn't have a friend in the White House. But you see, they do need someone to bring this message to the Jews today. And it will come. It will come. We'll cover that in just a little bit and see how the repentance will come. Verse 17, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. Cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline your ear and hear." See, now, when you're in trouble and difficulty, that's how to pray to God. And also, Just put in your notes there, Isaiah 45. God says there 4 or 5 times, I will help you. I will help you. See, with this kind of repentance, God does answer. He will help. Okay? Says, for we do not present our supplications before you on account of our righteousness, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Do not delay for your own sake. O my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, now that's the angel appearing as a man, whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, came to me about the time of the evening sacrifice. Now he gave the answer, but it's not one that Daniel was able to understand. That's why we have it preserved for us, so we can. And he made me to understand and talk with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, when he started praying, see, now this is also a lesson we need to learn in prayer. When you pray, like William Tyndale said, from the bottom ground of your heart, see, God will hear immediately. The word went forth, and I've come to declare it to you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. All right, so here's the 70 weeks. Now, the 70 weeks are not to be each day a literal year, okay? But each week, 7 years. Because this is taken after the land Sabbath and the Jubilee, okay? So each week is 7 years, ending in a land Sabbath. Now that becomes important because we will show in the book that we're doing that when the 62nd week ended, okay, that was the end of a land Sabbath and the 49th year, okay, and the next year was a Jubilee. And the land Sabbaths are counted from Day of Atonement to Day of Atonement. And that's when Jesus began his ministry, right on that Day of Atonement, beginning with the temptation by Satan the devil. On that very day. See? So God does things to the very day. Now, we can't look forward and see exactly how it's going to happen. But when it's fulfilled, we can look backward and we can fill in all the blanks. Okay? Now, we're going to notice that the 70 weeks are decreed upon your people, upon your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most High, Most Holy. Okay? Now, that requires at least a sermon or two to go through all those things because this means the effects of it is going to carry out to the completion of New Jerusalem, see? So you've got the current Jerusalem. You have the Jerusalem that was decimated in the 70 years. Then you have the Jerusalem that was rebuilt. Then you now have the destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD and now the one that's rebuilt now. All right. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. That's the first segment. Okay? And 62 weeks. That's the second segment. And they are separated by a space of time. It shall be built again with streets and the wall, even in troublous times. Now notice this carefully, because this is important to understand in the prophecy which we'll have written in the book. Okay? It says, verse 26, and after 62 weeks. So you don't include the cutoff of the Messiah with the 62. But after. He began his ministry, and then 3.5 years later, he was crucified. Shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now then, it breaks right here again. From the time that he's cut off until we get to the end, where then Jerusalem is surrounded by armies and destined for destruction, see. And the people of the prince, or the prince of the people who, with other prophecies, is the Antichrist, who shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, but his end shall be with a flood unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27 is where we need to pick up the story of what's going to happen in Jerusalem. And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offering to cease. Now remember this, when Jesus died, he did not cause the offerings and sacrifice to cease. They did not cease until the destruction of the temple 40 years later in 70 AD. But this is like what happened with Antiochus Epiphanes. He cut off the sacrifices by offering swine and swine's blood on the altar of God. That's the abomination that made desolate during the days of Antiochus Epiphanes, you see. Now it's going to happen again. So he's going to make a covenant for 1 week. Then in the middle of that week, that covenant is going to be broken. Now, let me ring my cowbell. Okay. In making this covenant, because we need to stop and think, let's ask some questions here right now. We know that the Jews have a lot of the implements and garments and things for the temple already done. So you can go online and look up the Temple Institute. They'll have all of those there to show you. They have the cornerstone cut. They've tried to go up and put the cornerstone up on the area where the Mount of Mosque of Omar is. And boy, riots. Okay? Who was it that walked across the grounds? I forget who it was that walked across the grounds in the Mosque of Omar, and the Muslims had a raging fit. Okay? Let's put a couple of other things in here. Okay. Now notice, we'll finish this off and then we'll look at some other scriptures, okay? Even until the consummation, that means the end of the age, and the fully determined end which is decreed shall be poured out upon the desolator. Now we find that in Revelation where the Antichrist is thrown into the lake of fire. All right. Now, let's come to Matthew 24. Okay, before we get there, let's go ahead and do this. Let's take a little break so we won't interrupt our concentration when we get back.